Meeting of Tuesday, March 26th, order. Can we call the roll, please?
Dodd?
Here.
Dodd here. Wilk?
Present.
Wilk here. Allen? Archuleta?
Here.
Archuleta here. Borges?
Present.
Borges here. Bradford? Chang? Galgiani? Glazer? Glazer here. Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Wesso? Jones?
Here.
Jones here. Nielsen? Porrentino? Porrentino here. Rubio? Rubio?
Present.
Rubio here. Wiener? Okay.
Okay, we have a quorum. The first order of business this morning is item number 2, SB 264 by Senator Glazer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. There's a lot of technical issues in our world, and certainly you're going to hear about one on this bill, so I will walk you through the purpose of it. But this bill would allow a Type 2 wine grower's licensee to have up to 2 off-site tasting rooms. Under existing law, Type 2 wineries are allowed up to 2 tasting rooms total, one on-site at their production facility and a second off-site. I have over 55 wineries in my district between the Livermore Valley and East Contra Costa County. And a year or so ago, when touring my district's agricultural and wine region, it was brought to my attention that an issue arises for some wineries when they operate under an alternating proprietorship, an agreement where a winery will produce their wine at another winery's production facility. When a winery enters into this agreement, their master Type 2 wine grower's license and the accompanying right to an on-site tasting room is used to cover the borrowed facility. With some rare exceptions, that means in practice that wineries operating under these agreements are required to obtain and use a duplicate Type 2 wine grower's license for their initial tasting room, and as a result are unable to have 2 tasting rooms like most other Type 2 wineries. To address this disparity, this bill will allow all Type 2 wine growers to have 2 tasting rooms while maintaining the existing privileges for wineries who invest in their production equipment. Importantly, any additional off-site tasting room that would be authorized under this bill would need to meet existing local zoning requirements. And with me today to testify in support of this measure is Tim Schmelzer with the Wine Institute.
Good morning. Tim Schmelzer with Wine Institute, here to encourage your support of this legislation. Tasting rooms are often the only opportunity for smaller wineries to connect with their customers. The expansion of this privilege to allow for another room will greatly enhance their opportunity to do business and connect with Californians. Encourage your support.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support?
California in support. Thank you.
Anybody else in support? Any in opposition? Seeing none, turn back to committee. Yes, Senator Borges.
Thank you. Just a quick question. What was the rationale, or are you aware of the rationale that limited it to 1 and not 3? 4?
Well, the existing law allowed you to have 2, but you'd have to have, so 1 could be where you produce the wine, and the second where you wanted to have your tasting room, say in a more convenient location for visitors. Because wineries don't have the capital to have all their production in-house, that they contracted out for that production at another winery's space. So they couldn't take advantage of existing law to have a tasting room at someone else's space. So that's kind of the situation that we're dealing with here, is that they've always been allowed 2, but they define one of them to be where you produced. And in this case, when you're small, you don't necessarily have all the equipment to produce in-house, allowing you to have 2 like other wineries. So this would give them that extra privilege because they're small.
I definitely support it. Thank you.
We have a motion by Senator Hill to pass this bill. Can we call the roll, please?
File item 2, SB 264, motion is due pass to Appropriations Committee. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Allen? Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Borges?
Aye.
Borges, aye. Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Galgiani? Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Wesso? Jones?
Aye.
Jones, aye. Nielsen? Porrentino? Porrentino, aye. Rubio?
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Wiener? 11. We'll hold it open for the
Bill has 11 on the strength of that wonderful close that I never allowed you to give. With that, we'll hold the roll open. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to go into a couple bills I'm running. So item number 3 will be first, SB 290. I know you'll remember that forever. Where are we? 290.
Mr. Chair, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Climate change is creating enormous financial risk and challenges for the state of California. Last year, more than 6,000 individual fires broke out throughout California, burning 876,000 acres, destroying homes, and tragically killing 104 people. Wildfire destruction resulted in insured losses of over $24 billion. California spent over $947 million on wildfire suppression in emergency response in 2018 and 19, exceeding our expected budget by over $450 million. In addition to suppression and response costs, the state is spending billions more on recovery. This financial stress leads to budget instability. This instability has become typical rather than occasional. Our state budget is being impacted for years to come. Unexpected disasters create extreme budget uncertainty, taking away resources from other vital services and reducing our ability to protect against or prevent future disasters. To correct that, SB 290 is a plan that brings greater predictability to our state coffers in times of disaster and allows us to fund more state services or make greater investments in wildfire prevention. Under the California Disaster Insurance Act, SB 290, the governor, working with the insurance commissioner and the treasurer, is authorized to negotiate and enter into an insurance policy that pays out when we have unexpected disaster expenses. Simply put, this is insurance on a specific portion of our state budget that lets us harness insurance markets to stabilize the state wildfire budgets and free up resources for wildfire prevention. We would not be the first state to embark on such a course of risk reduction through insurance. The state of Oregon has been using insurance on wildfire funds for the past 40 years. The state would only secure insurance on terms that benefit taxpayers. Let me repeat that. The state would only secure insurance on terms that would benefit taxpayers. SB 290 is supported by our treasurer, who's here with me today, the Honorable Fiona Ma, as well as Insurance Commissioner, the Honorable Ricardo Lara, represented today by Deputy Insurance Commissioner Michael Martinez.
Thank you, Senator Dodd and Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, and to members. It's nice to be back involved in the legislative process. I think we all have seen that fires and floods, it's not a matter of if, but when. And so we believe that we need to be proactive instead of reactive in this area. So here are the three main takeaways for this bill. This bill is permissive, not prescriptive. There is no requirement that the state do anything, just establishes the requirement that it may do something under the right set of circumstances. Number 2, the state's response to wildfires should be seen as a continuum, not as a single legislative act. Responses are intentional, interconnected, and become part of a larger whole, probably the larger whole that the governor's strike force is undoubtedly contemplating. And 3, the state's current financial surpluses are not a future given. Rather, one of the important flexibilities offered by SB 290 is to enable future financial burdens to be insured in the future if it is in the state's best interest to do so. And by doing so, the state's financial condition and reception in the debt markets is protected in times of fiscal stress. And as Senator Dodd mentioned, we are not the first state to do this. Oregon has had a longstanding wildfire policy and they buy coverage that lasts 40 years. The World Bank has a catastrophe bond to help with earthquakes around the world. And then FEMA also has insurance that protects states against flood insurance. So this is not a new concept. Just like we buy health insurance and home insurance and car insurance, it's the same concept for the state of California.
Hi, good morning. Michael Martinez, Senior Deputy Insurance Commissioner and Legislative Director at the California Department of Insurance here on behalf of Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, who sends his regrets in not being able to be here. He is currently out of the state. And I have here with me Mike Peterson, who serves as the Commissioner's new inaugural Deputy Commissioner for Climate and Sustainability to help provide some remarks immediately after me. So for those of you who remember then Senator Lara, when he was here in the state legislature, you might remember his strong passion for combating climate change when he was here in the state legislature. And so he strongly believes that climate change is contributing to more severe wildfires and volatile costs for the state. We see this in the insurance markets with losses totaling over $20 billion over the past 2 years as a result of climate change. And that these continual climate risks are really challenging us to rethink how we protect our state budget from wildfire shocks, including how to harness proven insurance products used already throughout the world. This bill will improve our budget predictability and empower the state to invest in greater risk reduction efforts without needing to draw upon the state's budget reserves. And as the treasurer had stated, that this is, again, permissive. It allows us with the statutory authority from the governor, insurance commissioner, and the state treasurer to explore this option to make sure it's in benefit to the state of California. And again, I want to thank Chair Dodd for his authorship of this measure and for co-sponsorship. In partnership with the treasurer, Mike.
Good morning, I'm Mike Peterson, Department of Insurance. So I just want to add a couple notes on the FEMA example. Historically, FEMA's National Flood Insurance Program has held reserves to respond to large-scale storms. In good years, these reserves stay put, and they look like a strong policy, but then there are challenging years. So in 2005, when Hurricane Katrina hit, the cost was $16 billion. In 2012, when Superstorm Sandy hit the Northeast, the cost was $8 billion. This caused FEMA to consider other strategies to better position the agency to respond to floods without overrunning reserves. So in 2017, FEMA began securing reinsurance on their flood response funds. The policy was set up this way. The policy would trigger if total losses reached $4 billion, in which case FEMA received up to $1 billion in additional coverage. 1 year later, Hurricane Harvey triggered the policy, and the flood insurance program received their full coverage. That's an example on the national level. The treasurer talked about the example in Oregon on the state level. We have a few other examples through the World Bank, but what all these examples have in common is that they are a mechanism to diversify risk. And so when you have disaster risk, you can either self-insure, you can rely on prevention, or you can transfer some of this risk. And the basic argument for insurance is that when you have highly variable costs, you can smooth your budget by strategically transferring risk, which is what this bill would authorize the governor, insurance commissioner, and treasurer to examine as a policy to better position California. Thanks for allowing us to speak before you, and we ask for your aye vote on SB 290.
Mr. Chair, Member Shane Levine on behalf of the Reinsurance Association of America. We strongly support SB 290. SB 290 will allow the state of California the authority to convert unknown natural disaster response costs into a manageable budget item that ensures that California will be able to provide natural disaster emergency services and maintain its other budget priorities. Simply put, reinsurance is insurance that is sold to an insurer or a state entity to transfer risk to limit the probability of a larger than expected loss or costs from, in this case, a covered natural disaster. This is a fiscally prudent way for the state to manage its disaster risk, like the way FEMA and the state of Oregon currently do. Compared to borrowing or bonding, insurance transfers a financial risk of an uncertain amount for a certain premium payment. Insurance does not require the state to borrow new money, incur interest, or repay any principal. Despite large losses in 2017 and 2018, reinsurance prices and other terms continue to be favorable because the amount of reinsurance capital exceeds the demand for reinsurance. For appropriately priced risk, there is still an incredibly robust reinsurance market with reinsurer capital sitting at $595 billion currently and ready to be deployed. We think it makes sense given the probability of future disasters that the state of California have this tool at its disposal. With that, we ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levine. Any others want to add on?
Chairman, members, John Norwood on behalf of the California Insurance Wholesalers Association. Just want to add our voice in support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Armand Feliciano on behalf of the American Property Casualty Insurance Association in support of the bill.
Right. Thank you. Any in opposition? Seeing none, let's pull it back to committee for questions, comments, concerns. Okay, the bill has been moved. Mr. Chair, you may close.
SB 290 puts another tool in the state's tool bag to manage state resources in the face of growing threat of catastrophic wildfires, and I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Clerk, read the roll.
File item 3, SB 290. Motion is due pass to Rules Committee. Dodd.
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Allen? Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Borges?
Aye.
Borges, aye. Bradford? Bradford? Bradford, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Galgiani? Galgiani, aye. Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Wesso?
Aye.
Wesso, aye. Jones?
Aye.
Jones, aye. Nielsen? Porrentino?
Aye.
Porrentino, aye. Rubio?
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Wiener?
Well, congratulations, Mr. Chair. Passed 13-0, and now move on to Rules Committee. We will leave the roll open for members to add on. Now we're going to move to item number one, SB 209.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and members, SB 209 would establish the California Wildfire Warning Center, a joint venture of the CPUC, Cal OES, and Cal Fire, to conduct fire weather forecasting that allows for accurate localized wildfire risk assessment and threat warning. In order to address the wildfire challenge in California, it is necessary to develop better wildfire forecasting and wildfire fire threat assessment capabilities. There are several major deficiencies with the current state of fire weather monitoring and fire threat risk assessment in California. For example, there's a lack of critical weather data, especially localized wind data. There's a lack of state-level coordination in the deployment of weather stations by utilities. There's a lack of aggregation of weather station network data. There's a lack of statewide fire threat potential. Potential forecasting, which leads to ineffective use of state resources. And there's a decentralized fire weather monitoring, which slows state wildfire response. Last year, I authored SB 901 that required the CPUC and Cal Fire to enter into an MOU to cooperatively develop consistent approaches and share data related to fire prevention, safety, vegetation management, and energy distribution systems, and share results from various fire prevention activities. In order to address the wildfire prediction deficiencies I just mentioned, SB 209 takes that collaboration required in SB 901 one step further and brings Cal Fire directly into the mix. Under SB 209, the CWWC will be responsible for ongoing monitoring of fire weather and threat conditions, as well as ongoing improvement of fire weather forecasting models. The CWWC will receive, coordinate, and verify information pertaining to wildfire threat conditions, utility proactive de-energization of power lines, and fire events. The CWWC will oversee the development and deployment of a statewide network of automated weather and environmental stations designed to observe small-scale meteorological phenomena that contribute to increased wildfire risk, including a statewide fire weather forecasting, monitoring, and threat assessment system. The CWWC will work with investor-owned utilities to adopt CWWC-approved weather monitoring equipment, and the CWWC will oversee the development of a validated fire threat potential index and ensure that every geographic area in California is covered by a fire threat potential index. I'm aware that some very good work is already being done in the area of fire threat weather prediction, including the work of SDG&E and our own CAL FIRE. It's my intention that in authoring SB 209 is to bring the disparate fire threat prediction activities together to coordinate and standardize the response protocols to those threats by our electric utilities and lower the potential for future catastrophic events.
Good morning. My name is John Kennedy. I'm with RCRC, the Rural County Representatives of California. We support SB 209 as a way to establish a statewide wildfire warning center. RCRC member counties contain the vast majority of the state's forest lands, and we've borne the brunt of a lot of the recent catastrophic wildfires. As such, and given the frequency and destructiveness of those fires, we're strongly supportive of efforts to reduce wildfire risk and increase wildfire response. We believe this enhanced weather monitoring system will have a number of benefits, including, as was said, the prediction of wildfire risks, improving the state and local ability to pre-position assets to quickly respond in the event a wildfire breaks out, and enabling utilities to be a little more nimble in their de-energization events, which we understand are intended to significantly reduce wildfire risk. However, in October of 2018, a number of our member counties had their power shut off by PG&E because of severe wind warnings. It's my understanding about 41 circuits were shut off, affecting roughly 60,000 residents over a three-day period. It took 3 days before all the circuits could be turned back on because PG&E had to go out and inspect everything. This created a number of difficulties that the PUC is currently dealing with in regulatory proceedings, but had a number of impacts on water utilities, wastewater districts, and especially residents. Those residents in rural areas that rely on groundwater wells often didn't have backup generators, and so they didn't have power to flush toilets, take showers, unless they could go to a community center or somewhere else to do that. So with that in mind, we urge your support of SB 209. We hope that we can work with the author as the bill moves forward to try and reduce any potential impact on ratepayers to utilize the existing network of monitoring stations that are out there at the state, federal, and local level and utility level, and urge your aye vote.
Mr. Chairman, members, John Norwood on behalf of the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of California and the California Insurance Wholesalers Association. Anything the state can do to reduce the risk of wildfires or losses from wildfires will benefit the affordability and the availability of homeowners insurance, which is beginning to be an issue in California. So with that in mind, we'd like to support this bill and urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Norwood. Any other speakers would like to add on?
Kara Cross on behalf of the Insurance Services Office in support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and members. Ryan Perini with Southern California Edison. We don't have an official position on the bill, though we have been engaged with the author's office to address a couple concerns, specifically Section 8669.3B, as well as 8386.3. Those are two provisions or two sections of the bill that we've identified as some concerns. We're working with the author's office to address those and support the bill moving forward to continue that work. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair members. Nicolina Hernandez, Government Affairs for SDG&E. Also no official position, but want to continue working with the author on several questions that that we see in terms of the operational aspects. Again, we want to continue being a partner with the state and appreciate the author and staff's time on this measure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any speakers in opposition? Seeing none, pull it back to the committee for questions, comments, concerns. Who did that? I didn't see that. Okay. It's been moved by Senator Portantino. So the recommendation is do pass and send to Energy, Utilities, and Commerce. And with that, please call
the roll. Mr. Chair. Yes. Is there no opposition?
I asked for opposition.
Oh, okay.
I heard none.
All right. I'm sorry. I missed it. Mr. Dodd, I think what you want to do here is great and fantastic. I do have some concerns. You know, the county of San Diego, after our last big firestorm, the county, the utilities, the cities, they all did a fantastic job of coordinating and kind of solving some of these problems already, so I'm not sure exactly how your proposal is going to affect that my area with the county and all that, so I need to do some more research on that. I'm going to be a no vote today, but I'm hoping that moving forward, that maybe I can, after I do all that research and find out how, that it's not going to negatively impact my area, that I might be able to change to a no, to a yes vote.
Well, I appreciate that. Number one, I think what San Diego's county has done is a model for what needs to be done here, for particularly SDG&E. But what we don't have, as I said in my statement, is we don't have that throughout the state of California. So I wouldn't look at this as duplicative. What we would look at is it's cooperative with San Diego, particularly using the cameras that you have there, the data that you have coming in, the wind monitoring stations. We do not want to have duplication and more costs. We want to share resources, not only of like the utilities, but also the UC systems that have cameras and all those things would come into these weather monitoring stations. It'll just make the entire state of California incredibly more effective at doing what we need to do.
And I agree with you on that. I my concerns are twofold. The cost, obviously, which is not defined yet. So I'll see it in appropriations. And then, of course, how it, I can't have it negatively impact what the County of San Diego is already doing.
Got it.
Thank you.
And we have one more speaker in the back.
Kim Stone, Stone Advocacy, on behalf of Allstate Insurance, in support.
Thank you very much. So at this point, we have a motion do pass and send to utility, Energy Utilities and Commerce. And with that, clerk, please call the roll.
File item one, SB 209, motion is do pass to Energy Utilities and Communications Committee. Dodd.
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Wilk.
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Allen.
Aye.
Allen, aye. Archuleta.
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Borges. Borges, aye. Bradford.
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Chang.
Aye.
Chang, aye. Galgiani.
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazer.
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Hill. Hill, aye. Wesso.
Aye.
Wesso, aye. Jones.
No.
Jones, no. Nielsen. Portantino. Rubio.
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Wiener.
Aye.
Wiener, aye. 13-1
That bill is.
We will.
We're gonna hold that open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's call the roll.
Okay, so we're gonna go back to.
First one.
That was the first one. So.
Okay, so we'll go to item number two, SB 264. For those that want to add on.
File item two, SB 264, motion is due pass to Appropriations Committee. Vote is 11-0. Absent members, Allen.
Aye.
Allen, aye. Galgiani.
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Wesso.
Aye.
Wesso, aye. Nielsen. Wiener.
Aye.
Wiener, aye. So that's 15-0 out.
15-0. That bill's out. Item number three, SB 290.
File item three, SB 290. Motion is due pass to Rules Committee. Vote is 13-0. Absent members, Allen.
Aye.
Allen, aye. Nielsen, Wiener.
Aye.
Wiener, aye. So that's 15-0 out.
15-0, that bill's out.
So let's go back to
Go back to SB 209, item number one.
File item one, SB 209, motion is due pass to Energy, Utilities, and Communications Committee. Vote is 13-1. Absent members, Nielsen, Portantino. Okay, 13-1.
13-1. That bill is out. That concludes the business before the Governmental Organizations Committee, and this meeting is now adjourned.